All right, guys, let's get into this fire episode. I'm going to talk about the nightmare tech future that we're going to be sucked into. Nah, just kidding. Just a little bit, I go into details about some of the pros and cons of working remotely, but how that dovetails with some ideas about the internet and the future of kind of our society being structured around tech and the internet. Then I'm going to jump into, in the second part of the show, I'm going to jump into what's happening in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So what is going on there? There's riots, there's protests, there's agent provocateurs. You're not going to want to miss this. You can visit my website, check out some merch, tstuch.com, tstuch.com, get my Joe Biden 2020 shirt. It's ironic, I don't support Joe Biden, but it's really funny. It's a sloppy Joe shirt. You'll see his tongue's hanging out. You can go to my Instagram, Taylor Radio, Facebook page, Taylor Radio. You can go to Twitter, tstuch1. YouTube, like and subscribe, Taylor Space Stuch. All right, enjoy. Hey, everybody, let's get it going. Let's get bumping. Let's get jumping. In this episode, I want to get started out. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of working from home. So there was some people like Balaji on Twitter and Dovey Wan from China. And Balaji, he's American, but Indian background. And they were talking about, they had some interesting things that they've been discussing, which have more to do with working remotely. So a lot of people, and it's not hard to see, but a lot of people project or predict that we're going to be seeing a lot more remote work, that we're going to be seeing a lot more of companies using a kind of a decentralized, distributed way, not decentralized, but a distributed way of doing work. A lot of people look at Silicon Valley and how this could affect them. This is kind of where the thinking is going. People say, look, Silicon Valley has been a center for tech innovation. However, with the evolution of working from home, things of that nature, people no longer need to come to the physical location of Silicon Valley to do their work and to get hired and to maybe try to network with people. Maybe you can go to other places. Or you could stay in Kansas, or you could stay in Texas or Oklahoma or Florida or Georgia and still work with a company that used to be or is Silicon Valley based. A great example of that is Twitter. Twitter is right now going full work from home. And so they are allowing people from all over their company to stay at home and work. What's interesting about that is since more companies have done that from the pandemic starting, more and more people are like, hey, I'm going to get out of California. You know, I'm going to get out of Silicon Valley because San Francisco is apparently a shithole. It's super expensive. The government is not run very well there. It's just overall, it's a bad situation. So why would people stay there when they can go to more affordable places, more pleasurable places, would be better off raising a family or having kids, things like that? They'll just go somewhere else. Some people are really kind of obsessed with the idea of work from home. Like, oh, this is the new thing. Now, I can't tell if some people are obsessed with it and that they think it's a good thing, or if they're obsessed with it and the fact that it's a new thing. A good thing or a new thing, right? Are people obsessed with it because they think it will be good, or just because it's new and they think this is where the culture is going inevitably? It's hard to tell. Here are some of my thoughts on it. So initially, the work from home idea, in some ways, it's good. All right. So first off, what I like about it is you don't need to go in and commute to work. There's going to be, employees lose productivity time. You lose time traveling to and from work. You spend gas. You spend money on a car. You're at greater risk for car accidents. You know, there's really just going to work has its pains in the ass moments. And it also makes you less productive in the sense that you spend, you know, you might spend 30 minutes driving to work or an hour, and then you got to find parking, then you got to get to the building. Then when you're done, you got to get out, you got to get to your car, you got to get back home. And all of this is taking place usually during rush hour. So it's nice to avoid all that. It's also nice to be in the comfort of your own home. You know, you don't have to worry about maybe certain types of clothes or having a large repertoire of work clothes. It eliminates that. Hopefully, it allows you to be more productive, right, in your life in general, right? Instead of having a big chunk of your life in one place and then going to another place, you're kind of in near the place where you work and play. And, you know, I personally have experienced great productivity increases from working near or at the place where I live, especially since I've been working in a martial arts studio. I've been working online, and I have access to the gym. So I'll work out, I'll train, I'll work online, I'll do all kinds of stuff, and I'll stay very productive in a lot of ways. And I don't have to worry about, okay, I got to drive here, then I got to go to change and go to the gym, then I got to go make food. You know, I don't have to go to as many places. So that's a benefit. Now, and it also allows you to pick up some talent from other places around the country. So the other thing is, you know, if you don't have to live in a super expensive place, which I kind of made the point earlier, if you don't have to move to Houston to work for an oil and gas company or move to Silicon Valley to work for a tech company, then that's obviously a huge benefit too. It really pays off with certain people with certain lifestyles. Now, you might be wondering, how are there downsides to this? There are none. Well, the downside seems to be, one, there can be a loss of corporate culture. There can be a loss of culture in general in the corporate side. Now, you might not understand how that's an important element of a work environment. But I can just tell you from, you know, I'm not that old, but I've had multiple jobs. I've worked in the corporate world. Now I do my own thing, more or less. And I can tell you that there is a camaraderie you have, generally, with the people you work with. Sometimes you don't have good relationships with your coworkers, and sometimes you do. But there are plenty of people that go to a job that it's, you have your friends, you have your, they're not necessarily your friends that are going to be there when you really get in trouble, but they're enough, good enough. You know, you go, you have a beer with them, you'll bullshit with them, you'll chat with them, maybe you'll share birthday stuff, holiday parties, things like that. And there are benefits to that psychologically. Because not everybody wants to be kind of like a lone wolf out there doing their own thing. I tend to be in more of that camp, but there are downsides to that. There are downsides to that that I've been dealing with for a year, 2 years, or more, where I, you know, you work as a lone wolf, you're doing so much shit or whatever it is you're doing, you don't necessarily have the camaraderie of people to lean on. And that can be really, really tough on people. It was really tough on me for a while, for sure. Lately, it's been better, but I'm not exactly sure why it's been better, but it's been better. And so that's a downside, right? You lose some corporate culture, you can lose some camaraderie. Another thing could be productivity as well. You know, there, just because you're at home, you know, you got to be disciplined if you're going to be working from home, because you're going to be tempted by all the distractions of home. You're going to be tempted to hang out in your kitchen and eat. You're going to be tempted to go outside and fuck off. You're going to be tempted to watch TV instead of work. Now, people are trying to argue that a lot of that's already happening in the office workplace, where, for example, people spend a lot of time on the internet. And that's true. That's true. I mean, I know for a fact that I spent, plenty of time surfing the internet when I was in my corporate job. But it's funny because that was about about 5 years ago that I was in that world. And before that, I had worked multiple jobs, but cell phones weren't like they are now, right? Like nowadays, you could totally, you know, now you could watch whole series of movies and shows on your phone. You could be on YouTube all day. But it's so funny, it hasn't even been that long. But when I was working jobs during the summers, and throughout high school, you know, during high school and throughout the summers, your phone wasn't that big of a distraction. The biggest distraction was texting other people. It was not watching videos on YouTube because the internet on phones wasn't that good. I mean, I didn't get my first smartphone until I was a sophomore in college. So when I was a sophomore in college and I was working at other jobs during the school year and during the summer, there, you know, there wasn't a lot of YouTube capabilities. There wasn't a lot of now I don't even think Instagram existed at that point. Or it was in its infancy. So the big differences. There's a lot of productivity that could be lost working from home. But the biggest thing is the competition, the marketplace for labor. So I've discussed this before, going through Peter Thiel's book, From Zero to One, you know, and listening to his speeches. He's talked about how America and competitiveness and things of that nature, how there are things about competition that we have to keep in play here. Once we become, if everything becomes remote work, why not hire? Why not get people from India or from China or from Indonesia or wherever that can do almost the same kind of work? You know, they can do almost the same kind of thing at a much lower price than American workers because, well, hey, if you don't need people in America anymore, if you can just do remote work for everything or for like almost all corporate jobs, then that corporate kind of work, those people running the Excel documents, people writing code, all of these people doing all of these types of tasks now become even more commodified where you could just now – the now being in the United States doesn't hold as much of a value as it used to, because now it doesn't matter if you work in Kansas or Arkansas or Texas or Florida. Well, then how is that going to play into international lines as Canada, Mexico, China, you know, places in South America or wherever? How will that be defined? If we move more and more away from centralized work locations and more to a distributed work system that could be done remotely and largely online, how does that affect the labor force? This is something that I do think that we need to watch carefully for, because we've already seen instances of this stuff going on, right? Currently, the United States has a tricky situation with importing foreign high-skilled laborers purposefully to undercut American jobs because it's cheaper. Now, we also have situations where I think Boeing a year or two ago was caught where they were outsourcing programming work to people for $8 an hour out in the Philippines or India or somewhere. And it was, you know, we don't want that kind of work being done. Now, I am an American, and I would prefer for American companies to use American workers, or I'm also fine with, you know, American companies using non-American workers, but I think there needs to be some kind of limit to that. We can't just have an infinite free-for-all. And now you might say, well, Taylor, how does that philosophically match up with something, you know, with a deeper philosophical vision or insight? And I can't necessarily do that. I can't necessarily say there's this one coherent philosophy that I abide by that leads me to this. But what I can say is that from a more local perspective, I live in a country that is doing fairly well economically, and I don't want to see my fellow neighbors and myself and my family and people around me going into an economic downgrade because of more globalized competition. Now, you might say, oh, well, you're just being scared, whatever. Say whatever you want. I'm just trying to protect what we have. I'm not sure exactly where the coherent line runs through there, but it's there, and it is important. So it's something that we got to think about. And, you know, there's lots of changes. I don't know exactly where they're all going to go. I mean, of course, who knows where they're going to go? You know, we're living in a crazy time in a crazy world, and let's see where those changes take us. There was also something that Naval made a comment of. He's made it a couple times. He talked about how with the internet, we're going to see more and more centralization, which what's interesting is we'll see more distribution in some ways, like distribution of workforce and maybe distribution of creators and content, but then more centralization of companies and power because of the network effects. For example, something like a Facebook, YouTube are great example, Google, of the network effects, or at least Facebook for sure, and YouTube for sure, where basically as more and more people become connected to a particular network, the value increases dramatically. So for you to be outside of that network, you are in an extreme disadvantage to being in the network versus being inside the network. And as these network gets bigger, as a network gets bigger, it becomes even more valuable to be in it. And so you have these, and it's also more difficult to fight against these networks. Like Facebook, for example, is huge. It's a monolith. It's gigantic, right? Everybody's on Facebook. Now, I know lots of younger people say that they're not on, and that is interesting. I've noticed that as well. But everybody really is kind of on, almost everybody's pretty much on Facebook. But the way Naval talked about it was, we'll see more and more big centralization. You'll have one company that does a particular thing, another company that does a particular thing, kind of specialization. Like we've got Amazon's like the big marketplace. Facebook is the big social media. YouTube is the big, you know, video content provider. Instagram's where you go to see pictures of ass. So that's what I think Naval was discussing. And I don't know if this is a world we want to be in. I've also thought about this in the virtual space, you know, VR and being more plugged in and being more separated, especially during this COVID situation, has made me think about, you know, separation of people. How desirable is that? Like, do we want to be in a world where everybody stays at their house and puts on VR goggles? Like, who wants to be in this world? I don't want to be in that world. I want to be in a world where I can go out and see people and have lunch and have a beer with friends and do all this. I don't want to be in a world where I'm controlled by a few corporate overlords that, you know, stick some kind of Elon Musk microchip into my brain and make me see all these hallucinations I don't want to see. This is not necessarily something that I think we should be going for, and I think a lot of people agree with me on this. It's like a nightmare, something out of a movie that nobody really wants to see. But it looks like we're hurtling towards this kind of nightmare. Some people might wonder, like, well, what could we do, and you know, that would allow life to continue without being more tech-centered? And I guess I honestly, I don't think it's doable because I think we have too much momentum going into where we're headed. But I would love to see something more like a localist philosophy. I would like to see more local, regional independence, and you know, that would allow people to cut off from international flows of trade if needed. That's what I would like to see, you know, but we're not... I have to be honest, it doesn't look like we're going to go in that direction. And the reason I say that is because of the momentum. This is something Joe Rogan has talked about with people on an individual basis. And I think it really works well here. Is he talks about momentum. You know, people get stuck in the momentum of their lives. And I believe that as a society, that's what's really happening with us in a lot of ways, is we're stuck in a momentum of moving towards particular technological change, innovation, whatever you want to call it, that may not be good for us in the long run. And people have, you know, you might say, well, it's progress, it's technological progress. Don't get me wrong. I like technological progress. And that might be possibly just because, you like that sentence, that might be possibly just because, I've been born into this society with computers and electric lights and everything. But, you know, Jordan Peterson made a really good point a while back ago, which was, if survival is the ultimate test of the decisions you make as an individual and a society, then we could fail that test. You know, technological innovation may not be the right way forward, right? If technological innovation ends up with the world destroying itself, right, ends up with, if Western civilization comes to the point where all of our nukes and our technology, say we became so advanced that nobody has kids anymore, or we nuke ourselves off the planet, then we lost. We failed, right? We didn't find the right way to move forward. We didn't find the way to survive. So we lost. It doesn't matter that we figured out how to put a man into space, because we didn't make it 1,000 years. Right? Do you see what I'm getting at here? Is, and this is a more rooted in a deeper conversation about what is right and what is wrong in terms of action, of what you should be doing, as opposed to what is right and what is wrong, like separate from individual, like outside of us in an objective sense. Like, what are the right actions that humans and people should take? Some people might say, well, technology obviously is the right way to do it. But I would argue that maybe it's not the right way to do it. Maybe with the new, you know, this technological innovation we've experienced is recent, maybe a few hundred years old, right? I mean, we've only had electricity really since the late 1800s, early 1900s. We haven't been electrified very long. We haven't had the internet around very long. And even though some of these things are awesome, like flying in a plane to a place and doing all this cool shit, I love it. I love talking on my phone, clearly, because I'm doing it now. I love all the things I get from the internet. But at the same time, if it destroys the world, if it destroys society, was it the right thing to do? These are important questions. And, you know, this is, I think, pertinent to what's happening now in our society. So there was a guy who was recently killed by a police officer. I think his name was George Lloyd. Let me check that real quick. I know some people might go, oh, how do you not know? How do you not know the name of that guy? George Floyd. Ah, there we go. His name was George Floyd. And there's a video that went around the whole internet of a white cop who had his knee on the back of this guy's neck, and this is a black guy. And of course, what's interesting though is there's an Asian guy cop who's keeping other people away from the scene, right? So anyway, people, you know, whenever a black guy dies and it's recorded on video by police, people love to incite the racist, whole racist cop thing situation, or, you know, white people being racist. And so After seeing this video, then there started to be protests, and now there's riots erupting in multiple cities across the country, especially in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where this happened. Minneapolis has basically been on fire for the last 2 days. People have been burning shit up. The police precinct, one of the police precinct buildings, was overrun by rioters. And I'll tell you what, the country seems so divided. Not only are we divided over Trump, or, you know, divided over pandemic situations, but we're divided racially and tribally. And like I've said earlier about the whole nightmare thing with tech and all this shit, I see the divisions in this country, and I don't know how they can be fixed, because, you know, right now, there's a lot of people that will point towards the cop and say, look, it's white people. We got to take down white people. And it's like, look, dude, it's not white people, man. It's come to where I live, and you'll see people are just working. People are doing their shit. I see dumbasses on Twitter saying white people need to be reflective, and you have to work every single day to worry about, you know, to perceive your whiteness. And it's like, no, I don't. First off, no, I don't have to do it. Secondly, fuck you, right? Because just because I'm born white doesn't mean I've got to jump through all these extra hoops because of some arbitrary BS criteria that you set for me that I need to now adhere to. And you're a white woman anyway. What are you doing getting off thinking that you can espouse this to everyone else? Get out of here, dude. Anyway, that's a lot of stuff. But What's interesting about this situation that's developing is it looks like the rioting is not even being done by angry black people as much as it's being done by middle-class white Antifa folks that are just trying to bring down the system. This is really what worries me the most, is this socialist, communist, overthrow the system mentality, which has been boiling. It's been boiling in the United States for several years, especially since Trump was elected. Especially since Trump was elected, with the resistance and the rise of Antifa and all of these far left groups, there's been a very strong push left where people really want to see the United States system burn down to the ground. They want to see it ending. And I don't know where all this comes from. I don't know why, you know, it's related to class privilege. It's related to being fucking stupid. You know, obviously it's their young people that have not thought through the implications of the system coming down. That doesn't mean the system doesn't need reforms, because it does. But the system can't be brought down or else we're all screwed. But anyway, it looks like Antifa is causing the rioting. Not only does it look like Antifa is being a huge problem, but it looks like there are provocateurs going on here. So Joe Rogan talked about a situation during a WTO. It was some kind of a World Trade meeting, I think back in the early 2000s in Pittsburgh, I believe, where there were these guys that came out and they were agent provocateurs. They were causing riots. They were breaking shit. And they were government agents. And there is somebody on video being caught who looks like an agent provocateur breaking windows at an AutoZone in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And there are reports of people coming out and saying, look, the protesters aren't lighting the shit on fire. They're saying there are motherfuckers that are coming in and lighting stuff on fire. There are people that are coming in and causing problems. Now, don't get me wrong. I guarantee you, just by human nature, some of that is organic, right? Like, and that's the point. That's where the agent provocateurs come in. They get things riled up. So they go in, they start bashing windows, and then some other people come behind them. However, there's a video that you can see a guy. He's a fairly tall dude, a white dude. He's in a gas mask. You can hardly tell his race. Okay, but he's a white guy. He's covered in he's covered in all black. He's wearing a black umbrella, and he's walking around smashing windows. And these black protesters go up to him, and they're like, "Dude, what are you doing? Like, stop breaking the windows!" And they're like, "What are you doing? Get out of here!" And the guy is walking around, just trying to ignore them. But it's interesting. It's interesting because it looks like an agent provocateur, and I think it probably is, and I think that's what we might be seeing, and it looks like there are efforts, and I don't understand why this is happening. I think the society is being set up. I think we're being set up on multiple fronts, on multiple angles, and I cannot pretend to understand the plan because I don't understand the plan, but it looks like we've got, you know, you've got these protests going on, but then you've got these riots that look like they're being handled by outside forces. They're kind of happening across the country. The media publicizes this to make it look like a white versus black thing when it's really about overly aggressive cops, right? It's overly aggressive cops. And but the problem is, most people can't take their mind out of this. People get sucked into the race situation. It's white versus black. It's really not, dude. It's really not. Anyway, that's all I got to say for today. It'll be interesting to see how the riots continue to play out, but hopefully they become resolved. Hopefully cooler heads prevail, but I think we're going to see more damage. People in Minneapolis are already preparing. We'll see. Anyway, have a blessed day. Have a blessed weekend whenever you're hearing this. You can visit my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. You can visit me on Instagram, Taylor Radio, Facebook, Taylor Radio, Twitter, T-Stutch, 1, YouTube, TaylorStutch. Taylor Stutch. Thank you. Have a great day.